what is now referred to as like indie sleaze.
Sure.
Like, what was your sort of relation?
Well, we came up in. Well, okay.
So but I'm saying, so, well, no, I know you guys were a part. Like, a
well,
part
we
of
were.
That
I world. Felt like we were not a part of that.
Okay.
But we were sleazy and we were indie, but like we were not a part of that work because that was very New York.
Yeah,
true. And but was there any crossover with, say, the Strokes or Interpol or any of those kinds of bands, or were you more so
only in the most esoteric way? But like, there was the Strokes. No, we weren't. I think that first Strokes record is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
At the
it.
Time, I was like, "Fuck this!" Like, and in, certainly Interpol, fuck that, and. Yeah. I was not into that.
Yeah.
But let's see. What else was indie sleaze?
There's all kinds. Know. There's like, well, it's interesting to like, I read the book.
I couldn't watch the documentary.
Yeah. The book is really good.
I would rather read a book.
Yeah. The book is good because I think it starts with that band called, who were basically kind of a garage rock band, Jonathan Fire Eater.
Yeah, never heard. But I've heard of them.
So they were like, and it kind of starts with that of like the sort of pre. It basically chronicles like this garage rock scene in New York that never really
right.
came to fruition, and then everything that came after it because members of them were in the Walkman and stuff like that.
Right, I like the Walkman. It was there, and I think we were around it. Like
right.
we were close to it and we were maybe lumped in with it. But I remember we were a band before the Strokes. Like what Strokes came out in what, 2001?
2001, I think so, yeah.
So our record came out a couple of years earlier. We knew of the White Stripes
right.
and there was like a garage rock thing happening.
Yes.
And then it kind of just felt like music journalists from New York were like, we have a thing now. It's
right.
these guys.
Right.
And
oh, true.
And then suddenly the Strokes were the thing.
Yeah.
Except they're great. Like
yeah,
they're
yeah.
great. So but it kind of just felt like every city had to put up their own rock and roll band. And
yeah.
this was the New York one. And that's where journalists are and that's where media can push it, or like they had a
right.
big push behind it.
But what I more so mean is did you ever feel that because obviously, as you just said it, like every city had to create or champion their own version of not to say the Strokes, but to champion
yeah.
their own version of like their indie rock heroes or whatever. Did you guys ever feel that there was a thing like happening here within that? Were people trying to find and like champion
in
like,
Toronto?
Like that version?
There were certainly Toronto versions of that.
Okay, oh, really?
Yeah, that's what, I want to know if there was anything that we would never have heard of because they never made it past their first show or something. That
no,
was just
well, I don't know about that. But I feel like there was a band at that time called Tangiers that
yeah,
were
of course,
close
Reichman.
Friends with us.
Shout out to
yeah.
Josh Reichman.
Yeah, yeah. Our friends, they were more Strokesy than,
true.
And other than that, I think they were the one,
they,
weren't
yeah,
they? Vancouver had Hot Heat, Toronto had
yes.
Tangiers. And
whoa, hot
it was Montreal, I guess, Arcade Fire?
I yeah, guess. And then they won, I guess. That was the one.
It can only be one.
Yeah. yeah. It is funny for me just to like, because like, again, like I knew of all of these bands. Like I remember seeing...
But,
well,
oh, so, okay, no, but Toronto had a indie sleaze vibe at the time.
Okay.
People were going out. There were yeah. drugs. Like people liked to party. I saw it kind of centering around a bunch of DJ nights.
Right.
Is where that was rather than bands.
Yes.
Though all the bands adopted the attitude
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was kind of like a post-Oasis attitude. For,
yeah.
I guess.
Were
something.
You going to these parties?
Well, they were like, you know, like Blow Up was super popular. God. Was super cool. I don't know if it was super cool. It was like a Britpop night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the Alma Combo.
Okay.
So drugs, right? Like drugs, people actually dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
Girls were there and guys, you know what I mean? Like, and girls dressed up and everyone looked amazing or pretty amazing. And that was like a very sleazy and indie sleaze place for me.
Yeah.
There was also, I mean, maybe a little cooler or more quote like important would be like Vaseline.
Right, which was
Will Monroe's
yes.
thing, which was the Snakes were super involved with because we knew Will and
right.
he wanted to blend the Snakes'
and this
world,
is, and
like
this
rock and
ask.
Roll
yeah.
world.
Because this is something that I wonder about. It's like, I'm always very interested as someone who both plays in bands and like has DJed DJs as well.
Yeah.
Has done both back to back.
Yeah.
I've found so often that like there is such a push and pull of getting your friends. Sometimes people sort of pick their tribe, if you will. They'll be like, no, I'm like a band guy or I'm like a DJ person. They rarely cross over.
Right.
But this era is something that I think needs to really come back in this sense where it seemed, at least from reading about it or whatever, or even just seeing it but not being old enough to go, it very much felt like, you know, people in bands would do their fucking shows and then like go to some bar and someone would be like, it felt very like,
right,
like things.
There was a lot of that. There was another thing called Milk. There was like a bunch. Vaseline was super important.
Yeah.
Because it was Will Monroe, like bringing straight rock culture and gay culture in Toronto together in the craziest part. It was so wild and fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun.